Scripture scholars remind us that at the time of Jesus, the Jewish people obviously did not have our medical knowledge or awareness of harmful bacteria. But they did observe people getting sick from eating pigs, so they formulated kosher laws forbidding the eating of pork. There were a good many other diseases that were the object of such laws, what we know to be tuberculosis, smallpox, and so on. There were also people with skin diseases that they called by the general term of leprosy. It might have been a bad case of acne or ringworm, scabies, psoriasis. And of course, the real leprosy, which we refer to now as Hansen's disease. Ironically, not as contagious as ringworm, but especially horrific disease with its draining sores, decaying, disfiguring flesh, and repulsive odor. People with partial limbs and half faces. Leprosy then was uniquely despised because it was so ugly, and lepers were deemed unlovable, even perceived as evil. We need to keep this in mind, that such sicknesses also came to be seen as divine punishment. And so they weren't a matter of the doctors of the time, but for the priests. Thus the comment of our Lord in the Gospel this morning. He says to the man who is cured, "Go and show yourself to the priests as proof." Lepers had no hope of receiving love, no hope of being accepted as persons, no hope of enjoying ordinary human companionship. The bottom line is that for the Jewish people, they lived in a double terror of lepers, and so they made all kinds of laws to segregate them. The book of Leviticus, which we heard in our first reading, clearly states the fate of the leper. He shall wear a torn clothes and let the hair of his head be disheveled and cry out, "Unclean, unclean." He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone, and his dwelling shall be beyond the camp. I've mentioned oftentimes of the Daughters of Charity who taught me in grammar school, and they had the largest leprosarium, you might call it, in the whole continental United States. It was in Carville, Louisiana. One of the sisters came to visit to talk about that experience. So as a boy, I remember leprosy or Hansen's disease wasn't that far, though we know of Molokai and Damien. But actually, it was the lived experience that they tried to give those people a sense of community that in our Gospels we find they were denied. And yet the leper in our gospel came to Jesus and knelt as he offered his prayer. "If you wish, you can make me clean." Why did he make this bold and forbidden move? Because he heard Jesus' power to heal. And more importantly, he heard that Jesus cared about those that no one else did care about. And this emboldened the leper to come forward. Now, much to the horror of the onlookers, the leper moved closer. And yet Jesus stretches out his hand and touches the man. He actually touched an unclean leper who looked upon with disgust and fright, if not hatred, by the religious and medical authorities of the time. Again, we can't underestimate this feeling of rejection. The leper was suspected by many as having committed some kind of terrible sin, and that's why he warranted this horrific disease. And for him to touch Jesus, to even speak to Jesus, went beyond the legal rights. But our Lord was there for him, as he was for so many on the fringe, and he reaches out, as we know, and touches the leper. Father Harrington is an Irish Dominican scholar. And in his reflection on this passage, he writes something we could all relate to. In place of isolation, Jesus gave companionship. In place of rejection, he gave acceptance. In place of disgust, he gave compassion. Now, that must have been far better for that man than any physical cure could possibly mean. Which leads to the important message for us this morning, on this last Sunday before we enter into the season of Lent. The real power of this gospel passage is not that a sick man was made healthy, but that a person universally held to be repulsive, unlovable, even evil, is in fact loved and is the object of God's mercy and compassion. We know the medical profession has done a lot for people's illnesses, illnesses of the skin, leprosy, ringworm, acne, any number of these afflictions. But what about the leprosy of rejection? The type that many experience. Again, I've often spoken of the 12 years I served as the chaplain at St. Vincent's School for Boys in San Rafael. It was founded in 1855, but because it was so far from the city of San Francisco, the Daughters of Charity left a year later, and the Archdiocese took it over, and it became very quickly an orphanage, a home for boys who were the orphans of the gold rush. At its peak, it was about 500 boys under the direction of the Christian Brothers and had a farm. And it was essentially a place for young men whose parents were no longer able to care for them because of death or disease. By the time I arrived in the assignment in the late 90s, it had about 65 to 70 young men who were wards of the court, ages 7 to 17. The average stay was less than 2 years, but for some, they were there 6 or 7 or 8. They no longer could live with their families because of drug use, abuse, neglect. In many ways, they were experiencing rejection. And though no, technically they weren't orphans, they were society's orphans. They were overlooked, non-people, even abandoned. And so this ministry of the Archdiocese was significant. The vast majority of them were not Catholic, but they were placed there in these bucolic area of 500 acres with horses and small group homes. First time in their life, they were cared for. Now that may be a dramatic experience of rejection, but perhaps here this morning in our cathedral or those watching at home, you may have experienced some rejection. Was there favoritism in your family where you were the perennial second banana? Maybe at work, after many years of dedicated service, you're passed over for a promotion for the young hotshot who's only been with the company 6 months. Or maybe the term downsize, called right-sized, and after many years of service, you suddenly find yourself out of work. What about the betrayal of a friend or a family member? Or even individuals who themselves have done something so wrong in their life that has led only to feelings of extreme guilt, even after confession, a sense of unworthiness, isolation, self-loathing, even disgust, a deep sense of being unlovable. Our gospel this morning tells us that we can bring the dark and frightening sign of ourselves and present it to Jesus. And we should never forget those words of our Lord found in another passage of the Gospels. Come to me, all you who are labor and are burdened, and I will refresh you. The many of you who participated in the Lord's Novena, no doubt, I pray, have received the graces of healing. And perhaps one of those graces might be a reminder of God's intense love for each one of us. A final point from our gospel. Remember, as the passage opens, Jesus was with others where he could move freely, and it was the leper who was cut off, excluded. By the time this gospel account concludes, the situation is reversed. The leper went off into the company of people, while it was impossible for Jesus to enter the town openly. It was as if Jesus had taken the leper's place. Having touched the leper, he was now under the sentence of exclusion. A reminder that Jesus feels what we feel. If you read the accounts of infants that are taken from war-torn parts of the world, whether in the Middle East or in parts of Central and South America. They confirm what was the experience when orphans were first brought in the mid-70s from Vietnam to the United States. A reporter, Bob Constantine, spoke of the time he was on a flight when an infant Vietnamese orphan was being brought to the United States so she could be adopted by a family. On the long flight to the United States, he wrote, "The baby's eyes overflowed with tears, but she made absolutely no sound." Constantine found the nurse who was with the flight attendant and asked what the problem was. And familiar with other orphans coming to the United States on those flights, the nurse said she was acting very normal. She said, "The reason why they make no noise when they cry is because they learned long ago that no one will come for them." Maybe the final lesson for us this morning is that if no one else is there for us, Jesus will be, always.